Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
I think Blaine has a good rapport with the tight ends. I think it's a pretty darn good group of tight ends.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Today we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 34-17 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Steve, if the 49ers could just bottle up the first quarter of their loss to Tampa Bay, then they'd be in great shape because, I mean, that first quarter, they were up 14-0. Things were looking great, and then it went downward from there. But I don't know. Maybe during the bye week, they should just look at the first quarter and say, this is what we need to do the rest of the season. What do you think?
I would agree. During the bye week, though, they mean they're getting out. They're checking out, which I think is probably a good thing for right now. I know they've got a bunch of days off in a row, like 7 or 8. So I think they're getting away from it. But yes, if you're going to sit down and watch it, just watch the first quarter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because after that, it just goes south.
And that first drive, I mean, that's what you want from a Chip Kelly offense. I mean, they were moving the ball. They were moving it quickly because they were coming up with these completions. I mean, they had that penalty on Patton where Patton got hit above the shoulders. That really helped. But then you saw these crisp passes to Vance McDonald. Looked like he ran a great route. Torrey Smith, they were going for 24 yards, 17 yards. They're getting right to the line of scrimmage. Boom, boom, boom. And, you know, even Davis had a couple of good runs, including the touchdown run. I mean, these are the things you'd love to see more often, but it was just tapped into that one time.
Yeah. I'm frustrated. I'm not even playing. and I can't. I don't know if, I mean, that's the million-dollar question. Nobody seems to be able to put their finger on the reason why it is not consistently like that. It was great. I mean, some good runs, some nice throws, some catches. But then, you know, even, you know, first score was really good. Second score, they got a nice break. And cap scrambles, and I wouldn't say it was a. I mean, it's a touchdown. That's great. They need it, but it wasn't necessarily a great throw. It was a really good catch.
I think especially by a running back, a guy who's not a receiver. Yeah.
I think he surprised the DB or linebacker, whoever was covering the back. Safety. I think he's surprised. I think that person was surprised that he threw the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it did look like they were lucky there, that they were just kind of off balance and not in position to knock that one down.
Exactly. Almost like he, you know, let up for a second. Because it wasn't a. Yeah, it was in the right position, just wasn't a almost looked somewhat like he was somewhat throwing it away, but somewhat, you know, giving the back a chance. But the result was what we needed.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Well, yeah, and then they're up 14-0. Things are looking great, but I mean, the big key again is, and this is just a broken record because it's been six games in a row where the opposing team has a running back who turns into O.J. Simpson or Emmitt Smith or somebody like that, because six games in a row, 100-plus yards for the opposing runner. And Jaquizz Rodgers, I mean, he's a decent back, but 154 yards, a career high. And
105 or 103 in the first half.
Yeah.
First quarter and maybe first third of the game.
Just big chunks of yardage. And this is a Tampa Bay offense that was 27th in the NFL in rushing, 88.6 yards a game. They're just tearing up for 249 rush yards as a team. That just can't happen. I still can't figure out how it's so easy for these teams to run the ball and get big chunks.
Yeah, it's we have two defensive ends that are built to rush the passer, not built to stop the run. I mean, they're trying to swim offensive tackles. You know, they seem to be taking wide rush lanes. I mean, just they're out of position, or they're in position and they're upright, and they're just getting driven. You know, and it's not good. There were a couple times where the linebackers went to take on an offensive lineman and started to, but then just totally turned their back, you know, like knowing they were going to get smashed. It's just not good. I mean, and to Tampa's credit, I mean, I thought that they blocked well. They pass protected pretty well, and receivers made some catches. Bottom line, not all those balls were on the money, but a couple balls thrown behind, if I remember, in the second half, just made catches. Mike Evans and the rest
Shepherd.
Of his,
yeah, Shepherd and Evans Shepherd, are pretty good receivers. Yeah,
yeah. They were damn good. Yeah, they were damn good.
They were.
And I thought that was honestly. I mean. The running the ball, yeah, everybody's doing it. But I thought that they were the difference. They made some nice catches.
That's a good point. Yeah. And when you look at this, I mean, there's having, you know, confidence or keeping your head up, and then there's being delusional, in my opinion. And I think Aaron Lynch is a little delusional. I don't know if you heard about the quote about him saying...
I heard it.
let me just read it to everybody. You know, possibly one of the best teams in the NFL, he's saying, the 49ers. Easily, he says. Hands down, we need to know how to finish games and work together throughout the whole game. Yeah, that's true. But saying you're one of the best teams in the NFL, I mean, that's just crazy.
That's delusional. Yeah. They played it over and over on KCBS yesterday, like four or five times in the morning.
Right. We've got a nut job on our team.
You got to continue to stay positive and keep working to get better. But there's just fundamentally there's a number of things that I'm seeing just, you know, watching it live or watching it on replay on television. I can't imagine what they're seeing on game film where you can run it back and forth, you know, a million times. So fundamentally, it's not solid.
No, and they make silly mistakes. I mean, in this game, the one that just is glaring is after they got a really good defensive stop in the third quarter, and then on the punt, Aaron Burbridge runs into Jeremy Curley right after that defensive stop, and they have the fumble, and they lose the ball right there. It's just terrible.
Right. That one hurt. Again, the momentum changes right before the half, the interception, and, you know, Tampa goes down the field. There's a couple personal foul penalties. The one over on the sideline after a long run, and I don't even remember who it was against, you know, kind of slammed the running back down backwards out of bounds. Somewhat questionable, I would say.
Uh-huh.
The other one, I think, was Buckner pushing the defensive line or offensive lineman over, you know, kind of smashing him in the face. Yeah, the lineman should have, you know, could have gotten an Academy Award. but that's, I mean, you know, it's happening, you know, happened right in front of the official.
Yeah, I mean, some of these penalties, even there was another pass that Kaepernick completed. It was in the second half at some point, and then they had illegal formation. It's just like, just when you're getting a little bit of momentum going, illegal formation, you know, and then you're taken back.
Yeah, it just, back to the point of, do these mistakes make teams bad, or do bad teams make these mistakes?
Right, I think it's the bad team making these mistakes.
I don't know. I'd like to think that it's teams that make these mistakes are bad. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what makes them bad.
Right, because otherwise they'd be good if they weren't making these silly mistakes.
Otherwise they would be at least decent.
They would be. I mean, that's the thing. It all starts to add up. I mean, drop passes. Vance McDonald had one right in his hands, dropped
again,
it. It's just those things are really annoying.
Dropped it. Torrey Smith dropped one. Not an easy catch, but you got to make it.
Right, you got to make it.
Hits you in the hands. You got to make it. McDonald, his hands are backwards. That's most guys' hands are backwards, but that's beside the point.
Right.
He still has to make it.
Has to make that catch.
Offensively, I think, you know, kind of, I'm probably getting ahead of our conversation, but, you know, kind of, again, we talked about last week, Cap's kind of not awkwardness, not, I don't know what the word is, idiosyncrasies, probably still benefit the offense because he can throw the ball better on the run than he can stand in the pocket. I mean, that's evident and has been evident.
Well, we've talked about that a lot. I did want to get into just his timing because it seems like, and I thought Rondae Barber pointed it out, and he was right, is that
he's late.
He's late making the throw, and then when he recognizes what's going out there, he's throwing it in, you know, trying to squeeze it in, but it's all too late.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've talked about this, that he doesn't necessarily recognize what he's looking at.
Right.
And that's always been an issue, you know, even under Harbaugh. So, you know, that's a problem. Then there were several throws that were late where he was in the pocket, and he just, one, he doesn't get there on time, and then two, the windup, you know, makes it that split second slower that almost gets picked off.
As the San Francisco 49ers podcast with Joe Castellano and Steve Bono continues, there's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. The one thing I did like that they did, Steve, was that Kaepernick seemed to have some planned runs. He ran for 84 yards. He was averaging nine yards a rush, and they knew they didn't have Carlos Hyde, so they weren't going to try to, you know, run the ball when they pretty much figured they weren't going to be able to. And they didn't do the read option very. I don't think they did it at all or very often. So to me, that was a few times, but seemed like a good strategy. That okay, you know, we're going to run Cap and find him some space, and that seemed to work. But like you said, after that first quarter, he just never was back in a rhythm of finding receivers that are open.
No, and I mean you're he was 16 for 34, I think it was. You know, which is, it's not good, but it's not bad. And you're throwing for 140 yards. I think
out of all those passes, he's only thrown for 143 yards.
So that's just, I mean, okay, make that, you know, you should be in the, you should be at like 250 yards. I mean,
yeah.
If he were 20 for 34, okay, then you should be pushing 275, 300 yards to, you know, and actually have a pretty good day. It's kind of dinking and dunking. Are the receivers not getting open? He missed a few throws. A few throws are late. A few throws are dropped. I mean, then there's, you know, some sacks. It's the same thing that it was with Blaine.
Yeah, it hasn't gotten better. And yet you had those catches I mentioned on that first drive, but after that, you didn't have anything that was 10-plus yards. You know, that's the thing.
No, he had the one nice comeback throw to Torrey, ran a kind of a turn-in, you know, a kind of a inside turn, you know, pivot back outside, which seems to be his, you know, I know we've talked about this. That's Torrey's comfort zone, you know, kind of outside the hashes.
Yeah.
Get vertical, run the guy off, come back to the ball.
Right. And you have to time the throw so that you can get it when he's coming back. Right.
Yeah. So, there was one of those in the first drive, but I don't think there was another one attempted.
And that's the thing I don't understand, Steve. I mean, I guess maybe I'm thinking it's too easy, but wouldn't you be going back to something? You see that with other successful NFL teams. Not that they're going to go every play, but it's just, okay, we did this before, we're doing it again. Okay, that's our play. Right. Sort of our go-to. And you're not going to stop us because we can do it.
Yeah. Welcome to the theory behind the West Coast offense.
Right.
Excuse me. this is what we do good, and we're going to change the formation and change the personnel and change a motion or two, and we're going to run the same play.
Yeah, and we're just going to keep
doing
it.
You're not going to recognize it. Right. Yeah, we're just going to keep doing it. I'm not disagreeing with you. Yeah, there should be more. I mean, they do it in the running game for sure. There just don't seem to be a whole lot of running plays anyway. Why not do it in the passing game?
I also wonder about the confidence that the coaching staff even has in the offense. I mean, you look at near the end of the game. Okay, there's 8 minutes to go. You're down 27-14. Yeah. That's not insurmountable, but they kick a field goal there on fourth and goal at the 10. So I don't know.
You kicked the field goal and you had just gone for it on fourth and two.
Right. Now you're fourth and goal.
You're down two touchdowns. Go for it again. I mean, it's not going
to. What do you have to lose? Yeah, you need two touchdowns.
Nothing
so they
to lose.
Kick a field goal. I mean, you know.
I didn't get that either. I didn't get that.
But that's not why they lost this game. I mean, you know, like we said, inconsistency on offense, just way too many yards given up. I mean, the rushing, the last two games has really been bad. I mean, they've given up 561 rush yards the last two games. That's the most they've ever allowed in back-to-back games in the 49ers history. And like you said it last week, not built to stop the run. They really aren't. They're not, just not able to do it.
No, they're just not. That's the two long, the two twin towers I've been calling them. They're not run defenders, and they're tall. They play tall, and they just get driven on running plays.
So now, what do? You have a bye week. Then you got New Orleans coming in, and what do you do? First of all, what do you do starting with a quarterback situation?
Drew Brees coming to town.
Drew Brees coming to town. You stay with Kaepernick. Does he deserve? He's had two starts here. Yeah, I mean, I guess you got to keep going for a little bit and kind of see what he's got. I don't know. I mean, it's you really don't have a great option right now.
Yeah.
I mean, some people are talking about you go to Christian Ponder. Is that viable?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I heard him mentioned.
Now you've really thrown the monkey wrench into the machine.
Yeah.
No, honestly, I think you probably have to stay with Cap. He's at least running with the ball. Passing-wise, probably not as good as it is with Blaine, but there's a unconventional element to Cap's game that that can make the difference in some situations.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you there.
So, I think that they probably stay. I mean, they have a week off, so they're not working on, working with a different quarterback or anything like that. So, I don't necessarily see any change there. I mean, offensively, I don't see them changing much, honestly.
Do you think Dewan Harris deserves more carries? He does fight hard when he runs. I don't know how talented he is, but he really runs hard.
He does. I agree, and he did on Sunday. I would think that he's gonna get more carries. Sean Drone, I mean, he got one pass. I'm not even sure he had one rushing attempt. He had the one touchdown catch.
He only had one rush. Well, yeah, ran for 16 on the one run, but that was it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, he seems to be the one that's one of the three. And now, I mean, yeah, he's technically still one of the three with Carlos hurt, but didn't seem to be the guy they were counting on.
And now, the other thing, when you have a bye week, then the media starts talking about all these stories, okay? Oh, yeah, they're going to trade Joe Staley. And then Chip Kelly's...
I heard that. Yeah. This morning I just saw that they're talking about trading then there's somebody speculating Torrey Smith to Philly.
Yeah, and then you got Chip Kelly's leaving after 1 year. He's going to go back to college. You got that.
That one may not surprise me.
And then you got the defensive coordinator getting fired, O'Neal. I mean, you got all kinds of stories that are none of them are positive. And all those stories are just circulating this team right now.
Yeah, yeah, and they're going to continue. I mean, if Chip Kelly went back to Oregon, would not surprise me.
No,
in the least bit.
Really? But he's got the contract.
Well, I mean, but he can go up to he can go back to Oregon and they'll pay him
a lot of money
a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And they'll they'll forgive the contract with the Niners, and. Phil Knight will pay him.
Yeah. And then you just say...
And they're struggling, so... Oregon's struggling.
They are.
So, yeah, there's going to be all kinds of speculation.
And then there's just an overall embarrassment factor right now. With all that, the way the team's playing being 1-6, and the fact that even though you're selling out the stadium, it's a beautiful stadium. It's only been around a few years now, but it's not filled. I mean, it's sold out, but people aren't showing up now.
No. That's an issue, but that gets taken care of with a good product on the field.
Right. Once you start winning or
I'm going to boil it all the way down and go back to just take a look at the team and during the national anthem. I mean, you got three guys kneeling down and four guys holding up their fist and the rest of the guys. Standing at attention. You're going to tell me that you're not a divided team? I would beg to differ.
Do you think that is as much a factor as just the talent level? Because another man we didn't mention is Balky. People are calling for his head.
Talent. Yeah, there's talent level. Yes, it's not there. No question. Definitely not there.
And by the way, every play it seemed like there was an injury in the second half. I mean, every play
somebody
was going down.
Four in a row. Four plays in a row.
But apparently they're not, hopefully, they're not serious.
Hopefully Robinson can play. I mean, he seems to be pretty good.
Yeah. And even Armstead, they said, wasn't serious, but it, you know, his shoulder's been bothering him the whole year.
His shoulder's bothering him. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was, yeah, that was unbelievable. I think it was four or five plays in a row.
Yeah, Ballour went down.
Ballour, but he came back in.
He came back in. Lost his helmet.
Yeah. I'm probably emphasizing the whole pregame national anthem piece, but I mean, they keep talking about that they're a close-knit team and nobody's pointing the finger, and I mean, like I said, I hope that's the case. I'm not in the locker room, so I don't know, but I'm just going on what, you know, my experience of, if you got seven guys that have somewhat individualized themselves, you know, as a subset of the team, and usually doesn't bode well.
No. Well, you're not in the locker room, but Tim Kawakami, I saw a tweet, said something like, you might be the next option at quarterback.
Oh, God.
I did. I saw your name mentioned in some tweet.
I got one play in me. Yeah.
Yeah, we can put you in for one play. That'd be good. But
we don't
anyway.
Have one left.
Exactly. Yeah. But, well, hopefully they clean some things up. I mean, you know, still they could salvage, you know, being at least going into next year where they feel a little bit better about themselves. There's still a long way to go in this season.
No question. I mean, I've been on a team that won the first game. I hadn't thought about that until literally just right now. We won the first game of the year.
Okay.
I was in Pittsburgh. Young team. A lot of good draft picks that, you know, Rod Woodson's, Dermoni Dawson's, Thomas Everett. I mean, I can go on and on. Won the first game. We lost 10 in a row.
Oh, wow.
10 in a row. Like, every imaginable way to lose a game. and when it snowballs like that, it just keeps going, and it snowballs in the positive direction as well. So we were 1-10, and we won the last five games of the season.
Wow.
Well, I mean, we just all of a sudden, I don't know, we just guys had, you know, had gotten some experience, and we all of a sudden put one win together, like, okay, we can do this, and then we put two together and three together, and next thing you know, we ended up 6-10. So, I mean, it can happen. I was living part of it.
Yeah, just to feel
proof.
Better about the season going into next year and try to build on it.
Yeah.
It could save a lot of people angst.
I hope that, you know, the Buckners and the Robinsons and the, you know,
Armstead.
Garrett's and Armstead and all these guys, I hope that they turn out to be, you know, some of the names that I already mentioned, along with, you know, John Jackson and Merle Hodge, and even though Merle only played a few years because of his concussions, but, you know, just one guy after the other, these guys became, you know, they all became full-time starters, and, you know, within 3 years, the Steelers were back in the playoffs in the early 90s, so... you know, Bobby had been drafted a couple years before some of those other guys, but, you know, you got two Hall of Famers and Woodson and Dermoni Dawson and, you know, John Jackson that played for 10 or 12 years and Thomas Everett who played for 7 or 8, you know. So it can happen.
Actually, this sounds a little bit like Ahmad Brooks. He told some teammates that, yeah, you guys could be in the Super Bowl in a few years. Now, that I can understand saying, yeah, you know, we can get better.
That's what happened before.
Yeah, yeah. Not the Aaron Lynch. We have one of the best teams in the NFL right now. No, that one I didn't understand.
No, you do not.
Nobody did.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Sorry to inform you of that. But,
right. So,
you can, but yes, you can get better.
Yeah. Well, we'll take the bye. We'll take the bye, and we'll be back after the game against New Orleans. That's where it all starts, I guess, for the 49ers to turn things around. We'll see if they can turn it around.
Yeah. They may not run the ball for 100 yards, but they'll be throwing it, that's for sure.
Absolutely. It's going to be a shootout.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we'll see about that. Well, we'll see because, yeah, you're right. I mean, New Orleans may look at it and say we need to run it a little bit more often because we can or anybody can.
Right, right. Take a little pressure off of Drew. Yeah.
Could be. We'll see. Yeah. Thanks, Steve. All appreciate right. it. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again in 2 weeks. We'll be back on Tuesday, November the 8th after the bye to talk about the 49ers game against the New Orleans Saints. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.